On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, we look back and ask ourselves, what is John Madden most known for? We look at the good, the bad, and the ugly from Raiders versus Broncos and the big win in Las Vegas. Why is the coaching search taking so long? What's going on with COVID and Raiders versus Colts? And of course, what up, Windbags? And we love when you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. The Raiders!
Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags,
RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. Final Autumn Windbags of 2021. That means we've been around about, 14 months now? We started
about
like
that. November of last year.
November of last year, yeah, 13, 14 months. You know, we're getting in dog years. We're approaching like fifth grade, so we're moving along pretty well.
Getting there.
Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. We do a What Up Windbags at the end. We answer a lot of comments you guys bring up. If you like what you're seeing, go ahead and subscribe so we can get more of it in your life, right? There's a little bell thing down somewhere. You click that.
In your face.
Do all that good stuff. Sad day for
Bummer.
Raider Nation. On Tuesday, the NFL reported John Madden has passed away at the age of 85. I could go down the list of his accomplishments in his life, but we try to keep this show to about an hour, hour and 20 minutes. We don't have 7 days necessary to recite every single thing that John Madden has done. So that leads to the question of the day. It'll be a pinned tweet in the comment section. We'll take your responses. What is John Madden most known for to you? Because it's so crazy how over the course of 50 years from a roughly 1970 to when he passed away just a day ago, he stayed relevant for half a century in multiple different ways. Coach,
yeah.
Broadcaster, pitch man, Madden football game, like all the different things that he did. Like he means something different to every single person over the course of 50 years. Incredible.
Yeah. He stayed relevant all this time. So many different generations know him. If you would have broke up, let's say his coaching career, and then his broadcasting career, and then his contributions to the gaming industry, if you would have just broken that up and said those are three different people, you'd have been like, wow, those are three really successful people. Yeah.
Those are three titans in their industry.
Yeah, those are three like icons in that industry. You know, the most successful, highest winning percentage of any coach over 100 games, that's mm-hmm. him. The most recognizable, sports commentator of his generation. Yep. He has so many things that people steal. The whole boom thing, like that was him. Mm-hmm. And now he's an icon in gaming that people still play the game and make tons of money playing the game. That's mm-hmm. his game, basically. And, yeah, man, he stayed relevant this whole time. Unfortunately, I mean, it was he wasn't sick with anything, from what I understand. It was just
it was
you
very
know,
quick. Yeah, there's still no reports on exactly how he passed. But I mean, 85 years old.
He introduced me to the turducken. I had no idea what a turducken was,
dude.
I've had one before. It's good.
The Thanksgiving game where I don't know if it was when he first introduced.
He cut it with his hand, dude.
He just karate chopped it. He karate chops like, dude, I'm getting into this. Like, I don't have time for a knife. If I did, I'd probably just hurt myself.
So gross. His hands were all greasy.
Oh, he didn't care.
It was so good. I've had one.
Got on the, I held his mic with that hand, writing on the computer with that hand, on the monitor with that hand.
So good.
Oh, it was great.
He was the king of the telestrator. Like, he was the guy that really brought that into the focus of using it as a tool to be able to explain and to be able to make complex concepts a lot simpler for the new and the younger fans.
When Daniel Cormier uses his telestrator in UFC broadcasts, he says, "I'm getting my John Madden on." He still like Daniel Cormier, Olympian, champion. He's like, oh yeah, this is his thing. Like, we're all just kind of doing what he did. Yeah. Super Bowl winning coach. He was a broadcaster for every single major network, ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox. And I don't think anyone's ever done that before. Obviously an icon in the video game industry. Legendary pitch man. But like, I don't know if you had a chance. Did you see the All Madden documentary on Christmas?
I have that Fox did.
It's really good. It's very Fox. Like, you don't get a ton of details, but there's like a ton of star power. Like, there's like Rupert Murdoch appeared, Tom Brady, Michael Vick, like everyone he ever broadcasted with. Like, he was a lot of star power in it. And they kept talking about like how much he meant to football, how much he meant to football, because these are all basically football people. But he was more than a football icon. He was a pop culture icon. Like, he wasn't like, he encapsulated football, and he was like the ultimate football guy. So when football people see him, they think football. It's John Madden. It's like, mm-hmm. He's just like the living embodiment of football. He's just the body of a football player, talks like a football player. Like, he's a coach, right? Like, he said in that documentary, he always wanted to be known as, despite all of his accolades and everything he accomplished, he always just wanted to be known as coach.
Like, he's a coach, yeah.
That was his biggest thing. So as much as he was a football icon, he was a pop culture icon and one of the best representatives of the sport of football that the world's ever had. And he was a Raider. He is our pop culture icon. He is our representative of football to the rest of the world. He is the Silver and Black's mascot and ambassador to the world. He was a Raider through and through.
One thing he said he said that he wanted to be known as a football coach. Mm-hmm. And in another interview, he said, I didn't want to coach for anyone other than the Raiders. So once the Raiders fired me, like, I didn't want to coach anywhere else. That's why I didn't coach anywhere else.
Yeah.
And a couple years later, he went up into the booth and started doing that. And the rest is history.
He went to 6 AFC championship games in 8 years.
8 years, excuse me.
8 years. 6 AFC. Now he lost 5 of them, but still, like, getting
fucking Pittsburgh Steelers, man. God damn it.
That immaculate reception is what like drove him to retirement. He's like, fuck this shit. I'm out of here. This is BS. Right. Just overall win loss record, 112-39-7, a winning percentage in the regular season, 76.3%. He won more than of every 4 of his games. He had that great 12-1-1 regular season. And this isn't like normally, you know, when certain people pass away at certain points in their lives, there's a different level of tragedy. And obviously every loss of life, there's, you know, he's got a wife and 2 sons and a million adoring fans, a bunch of people that family and friends that care about him. But when you've accomplished more in one lifetime than most people could do in a dozen lifetimes, and you make it to 85 with everything you've done, that's one of those like less tragic passings and celebration of life passings. You know, he didn't die in a car accident at 23, right? He did everything that he did, left his fingerprint on planet Earth forever, lived to 85. Like, that is a life that 99.999% of us will never understand or be able to accomplish.
Guys, girls out there, whoever's listening, find yourself a partner like Virginia Madden. Because that woman was his biggest supporter, and she had to be, because that motherfucker didn't like to fly. He took the Madden bus everywhere. So once the season started, he didn't go home because he was going across the country doing his games. So he didn't have time to go home. And the only way he could do that is by Virginia Madden being the mother and the father and the doctor and the lawyer and the policeman and all that shit at home.
With butcher, boys, baker, candlestick maker.
All that stuff. She had to be everything. So my condolences to you, Virginia Madden. You're a strong woman. And whenever you see someone achieve great heights, they always need that support, that backbone to really help them. And she was that for John Madden. So I appreciate you, Virginia Madden.
John Madden must have had a really thick dick to keep her happy.
He must have been slanging some peace, bro.
Right? Like, he only sees her like every couple months. He's like, all right, baby, let me remind you while you're with the king. She's like, okay, all right, back on your bus.
Fuck.
Here's Rich Versace. Hog. Rich Bisaccia was asked at today's press conference. And I think every coach in football, I think, looks up to John Madden, but specifically a Raiders head coach. Here's what he had to say.
We lost an icon in the world of football, certainly in the National Football League, but really the world of football has lost an icon. And it's hard to say that you can find another person that has gone through all the genres that he's gone through and been ultra successful like that. I had a chance to meet him when I was a young coach in the NFL in Tampa and came through, and I just had a chance to shake his hand, and it was kind of like my hand disappeared. You know, he was such a big man, and he lit up the room, and he had this way in which he made everyone else in the room feel really good about themselves, and you're actually excited about meeting Coach Madden. And in my conversation with owner Mark yesterday, you know, his comment was, you know, he's a Raider. And so I certainly understand that and have a great understanding of what a Raider is, certainly by the example that Coach Madden left here, along with the entire National Football League. So it's a great loss. And again, our thoughts and prayers are with his family.
He ruined it for all other future coaches ahead of him because he was so damn likable. Like, he treated everybody the same. Whether you were, you know, a millionaire or broke, or you're in, you know, a New York penthouse or an Iowa farm or whatever it was, he was such like a nice, likable dude. And so like these poor like Bill Belichick's and Nick Saban's of the world who just like assholes. So like, oh, they just look like even more like big assholes compared to John Madden. It's like, well, most football coaches are. And John Madden, when he was coaching, like yelling, throwing his hands around.
He wasn't that beloved when he was coaching.
He was not cute and cuddly when he was on those Raiders sidelines. But afterward, he's like, all right. Like, that also goes to show you the pressures of being a coach. Like, it seemed like he was this like genuinely good person. But you're on that sideline.
He wanted to win.
And you're living and dying with every play. And you speak football to football players, right? And so people forget, like, he was son of a bitch on that sideline, like most great coaches. But afterward, you're like, oh, the pressures of coaching are off you. And you can almost just feel him just, oh, all right, I can stop and smell the flowers now.
Yeah, I can enjoy the game again.
Yeah.
You know, before it was, he's enjoying winning and losing. You know, the winning part, you know, it's when you're in the broadcast booth, you don't have to worry about who wins and who loses. You just enjoy watching football.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a certain enjoyment when you're standing over your slain foe, and there's another enjoyment when you're just kind of like watching the fight with the beer, you know. And he like got, you know, made that transfer. Last thing, what should the Raiders, guaranteed the Raiders will do some sort of homage to him Sunday against the Colts. I think they should put a turducken sticker on their helmets. Personally, I think that's the best possible homage.
It's like a big mass with like six legs.
What would it look like? Would it be like a picture perfect silhouette of it cooked, or do you want to do like a duck head with like the turkey neck and then like a chicken beak, you know, like just start playing God with the DNA of the animal?
No, I think we should do like the silhouette of the turkey, but out of the ass comes two legs of a duck. And then out of the ass of the duck comes two legs of the chicken.
So it's like six bones. Just shove one.
One after the other. I mean, if anyone was going to get a statue around Allegiant Stadium, I mean, John Madden is not a bad one. Maybe a little bit. Maybe like
Al Davis
bit
got
of a
the
shrine,
torch, and then John Madden gets the statue.
You can't get anything bigger than that torch. That torch is freaking huge.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit, because they have that little kind of Hall of Fame, Raiders Hall of Fame type of walk. Mm-hmm. Maybe they put a little bit of a statue of him like in the booth, and you know. But I mean, it's always something they can do. You know what I really want to have happen though, and I'm challenging the Raiders defense. He was a defensive, he was an offensive lineman, but he was a defensive coach. The defense scores a touchdown, a defensive touchdown.
Yeah.
And whoever scores a touchdown sits down, little crisscross applesauce, and uses the football as a remote control, like they're playing Madden. He goes up to the screen and just like starts playing Madden. That'd be so dope. I'd be so pumped about that.
Oh, that'd be so awesome. Or they like do a celebration. I forgot which. I don't know if it was like the touchdown winning or the Super Bowl winning touchdown, but there was like the famous celebration of him jumping, and he's super jacked, and he jumps as high as he can, and he gets this far off the ground.
His fucking belly. He's at that. He has that button-up shirt, and his fucking belly just comes out of the whole thing.
He gets half an inch off the turf in like the most celebration. Oh, that's great. Well, RIP.
Carry him off the field.
Yeah, yeah. RIP, John Madden. Thank you so much for what you did, and thank God you were a Raider. All right, let's look back to. Wah, wah, wah. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The Raiders defeat the Broncos, completing the sweep of the 2021 season, beat them 17-13. I imagine a lot of defensemen are going to be on your list for the good.
Maybe. Let's start with the good, like we always do. I want to give a big shout out to the entire defense. Mm-hmm. The entire defense. Now, I'm not going to single anyone out today.
Yeah.
The entire defense, the Raiders defense.
Team award.
The run defense. Listen to this. This is fucking crazy. Denver ran the ball 16 times for 18 yards and a touchdown. That touchdown came after a sack fumble that was returned. Oh, no, it was an interception returned. Yeah. To the 1 yard line. So even though touchdown was only a 1 yard touchdown. So that means the Denver averaged 1.1 yards per carry for the entire game. So that's run defense. Pass defense.
How about this? How about the other part? Drew Locke had like two scrambles for 10 yards. They weren't like actual run plays. You take that away, they had 16 carries for 8 yards. If you take away Drew Locke's scrambles.
Craziness.
Nuts.
Pass defense was still good too. 15 out of 22 was Drew Locke, mostly dink and dunk. 153 yards. That's it. Also on the good is the Raiders run offense. Josh Jacobs came out of his shell finally. 27 carries for 129 yards. Peyton Barber, that's a 4.8 average. That's usually, mm-hmm. That's about a yard more than he's averaged the rest of the year.
Yep.
Per carry. Peyton Barber, 5 carries for 22 yards and a touchdown, 4.4 average. Again, big runs and big moments. Kept the clock rolling late in the game. Very similar to what happened against the Browns in the second half. He spelled Jacobs when he was getting a little tired, kind of wearing down at the end of the game. Had a couple long runs, and they put Barber in there, and he was able to get that 5 yard touchdown run. So great job, Peyton Barber.
Yeah, it was a consummate Raiders run game where like the longest run was 19 yards, right? We didn't break one for 60 or anything like that, but 7 yards, 8 yards, 5 yards, 12 yards, 7 yards, like constantly like second and short, third and short, yep. Getting that first down when we need it, like just you know, just between the tackles, meat and potatoes run game that we've been trying to do for. Since Gruden got here and since he left, like this, we finally went up against a really good run defense in the Broncos. We finally did what we wanted to do.
One difference that I noticed in Josh Jacobs was he only had one carry that was negative yardage, mm-hmm. And that was his own fault. There was a hole there if he was patient enough, but he tried to bounce it outside and he kind of got pushed back a few yards. He was patient, but when he saw the seam, he hit it hard. And he wasn't dancing. He was just going straight forward and dragging guys with him. And he was 2019 Josh Jacobs.
The stars really aligned this last weekend because it was, I think the Broncos went in thinking we're going to, you know, pass heavy defense, right? We're going to only put like six or seven in the box because they're going to pass on us. We chose to run. Jacobs ran angry. And our line showed up.
Yeah.
Our O-line showed up. Probably the best run blocking we've probably seen all season. Everyone kind of came together.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, everyone, like a little bit of unity came together. I mean, there's a lot to be said of, because the one, like one of the positives of our O-line is what, you know, once Denzel Good and Richie Incognito obviously never played, but it's basically been the same O-line all season, more or less, right? Like mm-hmm. With a lot of continuity, even though a lot of guys that we thought were going to be backups, a lot of continuity. And so, as time goes on, especially young guys, right? This isn't, you know, Rodney Hudson and Gabe Jackson, you know, guys in their 30s that are going to get hurt, you know, You know, Roddy went on IR this season. Trent Brown went on IR this season. Not older guys getting hurt, younger guys that are going to get better as the season goes on because, you know, they're young and they're learning. Like they're literally learning on the job, right? Mm-hmm. Leatherwood can't get any worse. And so it's maybe one of those things where maybe it's not just a flash in the pan. Maybe it's truly our O-line, young O-line is kind of conforming together, finding some unity, playing well together and finding their stroke in the final, you know, couple games of the season.
Yeah, and that was the last group of the good this week was the offensive line's run blocking. They did a really good job of getting up and moving the line of scrimmage backwards. And they were punching and they were pushing and they were setting the line of scrimmage and they were pushing guys back, man. Not a lot of holes, not a lot of leaks, not a lot of guys getting through, just man on man. It was just tough football, man. And that's what I said in like the middle, I think it was the middle of the first quarter or the beginning of the second quarter. I texted you. I was like, man, Tom Cable needs to just grab each one of those linemen by the face mask and just challenge their manhood. Like, you need to go out there and you need to move that guy in front of you against his will. That's just what you need to do.
Whip his out in front of all of them and start comparing. It's like, all right, guys.
It's not the biggest, but it's out there.
I got the biggest in the jungle. Come on. Bring it out.
You know, you got to get out there. And, you know, honestly, that's what run blocking is. That's why offensive linemen are a little bit sick, and that's why they love run blocking, is you're basically pushing a guy against his will in a direction he doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
And that's just the most fun as an offensive lineman, is just grabbing a guy and just shoving him wherever you want him to go. And if you can do that consistently, that's going to make it easy for your running backs.
I thought the best part of being an offensive lineman is going into hometown buffet as a team and watching all the cooks just like pass out because they're afraid of what you're going to do to the restaurant.
Dude, it's like a soup plantation. You walk in there and be like, dude, you got to get some more pizza out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I get some more baked potatoes out there.
Look at so many leaves, you know what I mean?
Oh, I used to get a whole plate of that Chinese chicken salad, mm-hmm. a whole plate of that first, and that would just hit the pizza and the freaking baked potatoes and the chili. Oh, man, that's just big diarrhea after that.
I would take the chicken out of the chicken noodle soup, put that separately, and then pour the chili on top of the chicken and just do like an extra meaty chili.
What an asshole.
Yeah.
That's why the chicken noodle soup had like no chicken. What the fuck's going on here? There's no chicken in this thing.
It went to a good place.
Freaking J.I. All right. So that's the good. Here comes the bad.
All right. Give it to me.
Jacob's fumble troubles continue. He is still holding that ball so far away from his body, so nonchalant holding that ball out there. It just can't be done, man. He needs to tighten that up. And if anybody in the NFL, former or current, knows about fumbling issues, it's Tiki Barber. And he said the same thing over and over again. You got to hold that ball high and tight during the game. Hold it high and tight, high and tight. That's what changed his career around.
This is a weird spot for Jacobs because he's not a fumble liability historically. Like, he hasn't been. That's only his second fumble all season, right? Like, he's been
second fumble lost all season.
Second fumble lost all season, right? And he's been really good about protecting the ball. But this season, for whatever reason, he's decided to like get his arms out there. I don't know if he's been working on his lats so much that he's got like put his arms out now. Like, he's got invisible lat syndrome.
Pump you up.
So they're like, that's why he's running that way, or his biceps got too big. He can't hold on the ball against his chest. But for whatever reason it is, he's just starting to run with the ball out there. I don't know. Maybe it was like, remember when he had that chest injury and he came out of a game at the, you know, like a halftime.
That's what I was thinking about. So
maybe it's like a busted rib. He's not doesn't want to hold it tight against there.
It could have been a pec injury. Mm-hmm. And when you hold something tight up in here, you are squeezing your pec muscle and the connective tissues. That mm-hmm. could be a problem. I don't know exactly what it is, but it could be a rib or it could be a pec issue. Who knows? That's a really big, you know, shoulder problem. So that's a really big area with a lot of connective tissue for your pec leading into your shoulder. So, I mean, who knows?
Because that was a real
bicep.
That was a big 180. Like, he never ran like that before.
Yeah.
In the season. It's weird. Yeah.
And really it's so that's one. And the other one is another person with turnover issues. Again, it's Carr. Two more mm-hmm. turnovers, man. Like a fumble and an interception. We can't continue. We lucked out these last 2 weeks by facing subpar offenses. One, mm-hmm. because they're just a subpar offense. They're very predictable subpar offense. Another one is because they had some people out in with the Browns. We can't continue to win and continue to like spit into the wind and piss into the wind by having all these turnovers and expect to win games. It's two games in a row now where we lost the turnover battle and we still won.
What did I say when we had nine fumbles and didn't lose one of them? Like our first nine fumbles, like either recovered or they went out of bounds with all nine of them. Like that's awesome, great, that's cool. But that's not gonna, it's not going to continue. Like it's not like we're not going to fumble 30 times this season and recover 30. Like it's going to start to bite us in the ass, and it's true to form. Yeah,
it's going to happen. And the thing is this Colts defense is very opportunistic. I have them in fantasy this year, and they score me a ton of points. They do a very good job on special teams, and they do an extremely good job on defense. They are an opportunistic defense. They're very tough. They're going to be missing, we'll see. They may be missing a lot of people, but we'll have to get to that a little bit later. But at full strength, this is a very, very tough defense, and we're not going to be able to – we're not going to win the game by being this flippant with the ball. So that's the bad. We're going to our ugly right now.
It's worse?
Well –
not too bad.
It's something that's an area for concern. Our scoring offense is the shits. It's the drizzling shits. And we had 342 yards of offense against the Broncos and 17 points. That's it. We outgained them by almost double or more than double, I think. And it was 17-13. I think the final score is 17-13
Raiders. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like we need to score more points after since the bye week. And this is including a 36 point game against the Cowboys, excuse me, but we've averaged 17 points per game since the bye. We're not going to go very far. Something has to give. Our defense has, we had a couple of rough games against the Chiefs who just want to just fuck us dry and like the whole season is screwing us over. But other than that, we've still given up, we've been pretty good about not giving up a lot of points because we've been in a lot of these games even when we're losing, except for the ones against the Chiefs. But man, we got to score more points, man. It's something where we need to be better at being opportunistic and creating turnovers. We're just not doing it defensively to shorten fields, and we have to get touchdowns and not get field goals.
We were 2-for-3 in the red zone on touchdowns against the Colts or
Broncos.
Against the Broncos, which is a nice change of pace, right? Red zone's been an issue. So I think if they can start, if they keep that semi-consistent, right? If the red zone woes are at least semi getting figured out as opposed to just the Broncos are the Broncos, and that's where we got in. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's like, look, It's the same reasons over and over, right? We don't have to repeat them, right? No Waller, no Ruggs, blah, 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 blah. It's like you got to adapt with what you got, right? What that's going to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, these guys have played a lot of snaps already. Like Zay Jones has played a lot of snaps. Mm-hmm. DeSean Jackson has played a lot of snaps. These guys have played a lot of snaps now. You got to figure something out.
Leaning on the run game maybe is what their answer is. Like we just do not trust the receivers that we have that are still standing on 2 feet or not going to jail. So we're going to run with this new O-line. Hopefully they figure it out.
Yeah.
One last thing. Did you hear how, because this was in Las Vegas, and you know how petty the Raiders can be when it comes to rivals, AFC West rivals. Last year, victory lap in Kansas City.
The Raiders.
So apparently, and I haven't been able to, I scoured the internet for it.
Like I could have found it either.
The Broncos would not release it. And no one in that media room, in that Broncos media room, put it out there. But apparently Drew Locke like sat down for the presser in the Broncos media room. And in the speaker system, Rich Bisaccia's voice from his presser in the presser next door started echoing through there. And he's talking about like how great the defense is. I don't have a proper adjective that can describe how good they were. They were overwhelming, fantastic, dominant. And Drew Locke's just kind of sitting there like, after getting shit kicked in by their defense. And like Versace is just like talking about how great the defense is. He's like, yeah, right.
We can do.
Yeah. Could have been a simple mistake. You know, like I work in TV, audio issues all happen all the time. But what's more likely? the A2 like flipped one switch up when he should have switched it down, or someone in that Raiders facility is like, let's stick it to these Broncos.
Gotcha, bitch.
So that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Raiders 17, Broncos 13, 8-7 winning record with last two games left. So real quick, whether, you know, how big of a remodel this team's going to have is up to interpretation. I think the next two games will have some effect on that. We'll decide some things, right? But no question about it, Mark Davis should be thinking of who his head coach is next season. Rich Versace is an interim head coach with no like head coaching contract. Like maybe, you know, I don't think he is. Let's say Mark Davis is like, nope, Versace is our guy 100%. He still needs to be like thinking about that. He still should be doing his due diligence and interviewing.
He still and has really, to interview one minority candidate too.
And yeah, got the Rooney rule, right?
Yeah.
And the Raiders in that aspect have an advantage because they were the first team this season to have their coach fired, right? Or left, or whatever you want to call it, right? With Gruden, not on the field related for obviously all the emails and what have you. And so they were one of the very first teams that could be potentially thinking about their head coach. Now the Jaguars have now, you know, fired their coach. And so there's only two teams right now that fired their head coach. They should be ahead of the pack. The Raiders should be taking advantage of the fact that they're looking for a head coach before 30 other teams and making their moves. Aaron Wilson tweeted out, Raiders are expected to look at multiple head coaching candidates finally after the Jaguars were running through all the top candidates, including a couple names you'll recognize, Todd Bowles, Leslie Frazier, Gus Bradley, Rich Bisaccia, according to league sources. Now, there's four names on that list. Two of them are already in-house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, talk about not reaching for the stars. You know what I mean? Like, you're at the bar, and you want to start hitting on some chicks, and you're like, I'm going to go with the sure thing. I'm going to go with the drunk 180-pounder at the end that's got two whiskeys in front of her, because I know it's going to be easy pickings.
Only instead if she's 5'3".
And then you got, you know, a 5'9", 118, slender Pilates instructor. Like,
tits on a stick.
What if she says no? I'm gonna go with the sure thing. That's what Mark, if this report's correct, that's what Mark Davis is doing. It's like, I got two guys that would immediately say yes to that offer, because that is part of it. Like, every time I talk about on Twitter or wherever about what who's the next head coach being, they're like, oh, this guy. I'm like, would these head coaches want it?
Yeah.
Like, if you're you know, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, Patriots staff, like, just, you know, these places where, you know, you get a lot of head coaches in the league, these guys have the pick of the litter. Like, these guys are going to have 10 teams next season offering them jobs. Like, you need to, like, are they going to pick the Raiders? Like, you got to offer them something. I think Mark Davis is like, well, I don't want them to say no to me, so let me just like offer it to Gus Bradley or Rich Bisaccia, who I get, like, they're the sure thing. Like, they're the text you send at 2 a.m. when you're hammered and you want to get laid. Like, let's just go with those guys. And not that like Bradley would be an atrocious pick, but you're really not, like, shoot for the stars a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, send out that resume to, you know, a job that you don't deserve. Maybe, you know, try it, right? Like, send out your college application to Harvard and Stanford, and like, you don't get in, whatever. What do you lose? The $120 for the application fee?
Someone could fuck up and let you in.
Yeah, right. Like, you can still go. You still apply to Cal State Long Beach, and guaranteed you'll get in there. But like, shoot your shot. Like, this list, no one's shooting their shot.
Well, one thing interesting is these are all defensive coaches besides Bisaccia.
Mm-hmm.
I do like Bowles and Frazier as defensive coaches. They didn't do really well their first time around as head coaches. That's not to say that they couldn't do well a second time around. Maybe they learned from some mistakes, went back as being a coordinator, learned under other head coaches.
Words.
Yeah.
You had words, a stroke, you Tom. Tell me, right?
Maybe.
Okay.
I'm really high on a couple of offensive coaches. You know, there's Byron Leftwich, I'm very high on. Eric Bieniemy, I'm high on. There's a name floating out there that not many people are talking about, but he won in a place where nobody won, which is Jim Caldwell. He won in Detroit.
I like how you say one, Juan. Like, you're trying to just like say your name.
He won.
Like he Juan. You say Juan.
I said Juan.
You say Juan.
back it up. We'll see it. We'll listen to it. But he won in places, in a place where nobody else could win.
When you play basketball, do you play Juan on Juan?
If the other guy's name is Juan, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Well, I like that you're bringing those names up, because you look at who the Jaguars have asked permission to speak to, because if, you know, if you're in the NFL, you have to ask permission to speak to another team's coordinator.
If they're currently employed,
Byron Leftwich, Kellen Moore, Todd Bowles, Doug Peterson. Mm-hmm. You compare those names to the names that Mark Davis has. He's like, let me just get a list of sure things. Now, again, it's an initial report. Who knows if Mark Davis has reached out to more people or bigger names? Like, who knows? Mm-hmm. Not all that stuff. That stuff doesn't always leak out. But just, you know, something to keep in mind. The coaching search needs to be on, regardless of whether Mark Davis has a hard on for somebody now or not. You need to kick the tires on a lot more people. And it needs to start pretty soon. All right.
Definitely. Yeah. We need to make sure that we go after the people that we want. That's okay. My uncles, God bless them. My uncle Eddie actually gave me this really good two pieces of advice.
Uncle Ed.
My uncle Eddie. Yeah. We turned a garage in our house when I was in like junior high into a room, like a big room. So we shared it, and he'd bring his girlfriends over and fucking smash. And I was like, oh, she looked at the covers and shit. He told me two big pieces of information. He said, number one, go for the girls that you like, not just the girls that like you.
Yeah.
Number two, the thicker girls do more stuff.
Right? Because they're not worried about calories. Like, they're more likely to lick whipped cream off of you.
They'll do anything.
You know what I mean? They're givers. Because they're so used to taking calories that they're willing to burn them.
Taking something else.
On what you're doing. All right, coming up, Raiders versus Colts this Sunday, second to last game of the regular season, 10 a.m. here on the West Coast, an early window game, a rare early window game. We are going to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. Weather doesn't matter. It's in a dome. Here's how the teams stack up. We'll get to the COVID stuff here in a second, but just a quick peek at how the teams stack up. They're 9-6, second in the AFC South. I thought for sure they had the best run game in football, but they're number two, second best running game. They have the best running back actively in football that's not injured. But 155 yards per game against our rushing defense that hasn't been great, but it's looked a lot better the last few days. When we've committed to stopping the run in the last half of the season, we've been able to. When that's been a priority, we've been able to. Depending on who's the quarterback, Carson Wentz, are they going way back to Sam Ellinger, who's like has like 9 yards total in his NFL career passing, will make a big difference. But this could look a lot like the Broncos game, Soto, at least on our defense and on their offense, where stack the box, let you know, whatever linebackers aren't on the COVID list, like run wild and dare them to throw.
Yeah, it's the game plan would be the same regardless of who played quarterback with the Colts. Mm-hmm. You can't – we saw the Colts last year, and Jonathan Taylor, that was his coming out party last year against us. He had over 200 yards.
Yeah.
He had two super long runs. He had a 60-yard run, I think a 40-yard run, touchdown against us. That's got to be our main focus. I'll live with the result if Carson Wentz just balls out. I'll live with that.
Yeah.
I can live with that. I cannot live.
That's a poison I'm willing to pick.
Yeah.
I'm willing to pick that poison.
Jonathan Taylor running the ball over us again. I can't do that. The thing that we have to focus on here is who's going to be playing. How's that going to affect their game plan? We did a good job against the number one rushing team in the league. It's the Eagles. Mm-hmm. We did a good job against them defensively. We did a good job against the Browns 2 weeks ago, who have probably one of the best handful of three, four backs in the league.
Yep.
We did a good job. To say it was a good job, it's fucking ridiculous. It was an amazing, exceptional job, fabulous job against a team with two good running backs, like a good young running back, and also Melvin Gordon is no slouch either. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Taylor's special, man. I'm not going to say that he's not a legit top one or two running back in the league right now, because he is. But the thing is that can't stop our mindset. We still have to go out there and make it happen. Nobody thought that we can hold the Broncos team, whose basically entire offense has been running the ball and passing off of that, to 1.1 yards per carry. And we did it. So we got to do the same thing this week. Here's the thing that scares me about the Colts.
Okay.
That 155 yards per game, that's predominantly Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
Like Marlon Mack doesn't really run the ball a lot. Najee Hines is mostly a receiving running back out of the backfield. Most of those yards are Jonathan Taylor yards. Okay. And every single week, the defensive coordinators are preaching to their defense, we have to stop Jonathan Taylor. And he's still leading the league in rushing. That's how good this guy is. So it's going to be an uphill battle for us, but it's something that we can overcome if we have a good enough showing. Again, I will live with Carson Wentz fucking balling out and having a fucking Joe Burrow game on us. I'll live with that. If he can do it, fucking fine. That shit the way it is. But our best bet is to stop the run and make Carson Wentz beat us, because Carson Wentz will turn the ball over. Just give him enough chances. He'll do it.
So all this is predicated on who the hell is going to play on Sunday morning.
Who the fuck knows?
It's been a weird, 24 hours or so. So yesterday it was found out that Carson Wentz and a handful of other Colts players failed their COVID tests. And Carson Wentz isn't vaccinated. So according to the rules of the NFL, it's a mandatory 10-day quarantine, which means he doesn't play on Sunday. So we're thinking, oh, wow, Sam Ellinger, sweet. Back-to-back-to-back backup quarterbacks. The Raiders are playing. Oh, awesome. That lasted about 4 hours. And then the NFL changed their policy. Now it's a 5-day quarantine, which means he'd be able to make it by Sunday. He can't practice all week. But this is the other part. He doesn't have to submit a negative test. He just has to say, I feel better.
That's to be symptom-free for 5 days.
Yeah. Basically. And who's going to, decide that? Is there a single doctor in the Colts locker room that's like, oh man, he's got a fever of 99.7. I'm not going to let you play. That guy would be fired and banned from the NFL like that if he did.
Basically, he just has to test negative, right?
No, he doesn't have to test. He doesn't have to test.
No, he's going to play.
He's playing.
That's
like, unless COVID really got him. You know what I mean? He's the rare,
Who knows?
Young, athletic, not sickly guy that gets really sick from COVID. He's playing.
That's fine. I don't care.
What timing, dude? The CDC literally changed it Monday, and the NFL was like, oh, perfect. Perfect. Now we can change our policy and make sure all these guys play on Sunday. Has that not been the Raiders season? Just the shaft after shaft after shaft. And this isn't one of those, the NFL's out to screw the Raiders. They just mirrored the CDC policy, and they just don't want games canceled. You know what I mean? That's what the money is. They just don't want games canceled. So let's just get players in. This wasn't a specific shot at the Raiders, but it just worked out that way timing-wise.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you just have to be like, fuck it. It doesn't matter. We just got to go out and do our shit. Because honestly, whatever happened in this throughout this season, this calendar season, none of it matters, because right now you still have a chance to make the playoffs.
Yep.
That's it. That's what matters. You still have a shot. How are you going to play from today forward? Kind of like why I focus so much on the fourth quarter. All that stuff that happened got you to this point right now. Okay, this is crunch time. Now what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. So that's what the Raiders have to tell themselves right now. Okay, we're here. All the stuff that happened has gotten us to this point right now. And right now, if we win out, we're in, no matter what anyone else does.
Yep.
If we win out, we're in. We're going to be above the Dolphins, who are ahead of us now. We'll be above the Dolphins because we'll then have a better record against or the same record against.
Because we'll have beat the Colts, so that's another loss for them. We'll have beat the Broncos. So it's like we talked about. All these wins, they're double, right? Because we're knocking off a guy that's ahead of us, and then we're giving ourselves a win.
Even if the Colts lose against us and then win their last game, and they'll be ahead of us, they'll be the sixth seed. We'll still be the seventh seed because we'll have a same record against a better record against common or AFC opponents. And
It's division record, right?
Division record, yeah. And then we beat the Dolphins head to head. So, yeah, man, I'm really looking forward to seeing how things shape out the end of the year. I'm not looking any forward. I know BD's super smart, man. I love listening to him break down defenses and stuff like that. I'm not worried about draft position right now. I'm not worried about any of that stuff. That's loser talk. We need to focus on winning football games. I think for myself, if we win these next two games, that will do more for the culture of the team moving forward, and that would be a more of a benefit than losing these next two games and getting a better draft position.
Yeah, honestly, tanking mentality is a poison.
Not like, really tanking, but like, okay, what would be better for the team moving forward? A better draft position or going to the playoffs? No, the mentality that we're good enough to overcome all these obstacles, that's invaluable because it's never happened before. We've never seen it.
So that's what's going on with the Colts. Handful of guys on the COVID list. It looks like a bunch of them are going to play unless they're just like deathly ill. Raiders side, we went the bulk of the season with only two guys making the COVID list.
Freaking and Browns got us,
bam,
dude.
It just, yeah, it was like goddamn Browns were just like spitting and like sweating and blowing snot rockets all over us. And then we're just covered in Omicron.
Dude, so we've got Casey. What's the ESPN Raiders beat writer's name?
Paul Gutierrez.
Paul Gutierrez, yeah. He got COVID in Cleveland too.
Yeah, there you go.
Everyone got COVID in Cleveland, dude. When I asked you, what are the chances that Wentz spit into Jonathan Taylor's mouth the day before?
We can only hope.
Yeah.
We have placed Casey Hayward, Corey Littleton, Patrick Awasor, Denzel Perryman, Darius Filon, and KJ Wright. That's four linebackers and two other defenders are on the reserve COVID-19 list. Now, all the Raiders are vaccinated, so that means they just need to submit a negative test. So they're over the five-day window, so they don't automatically get in, but because they are vaccinated, they can test and be back in. So here's hoping that this is just something simple. Hopefully they do some little shady over there in Las Vegas where it's like, oh yeah, it's like, hopefully they COVID test these guys the way like Russia tests their drug test their Olympians, you know? It's like, no, this 240 pound chick that just bench pressed 1,000 pounds. She's totally clean. We promise. As like hairs like pouring out of her ears. Hopefully that's what
like,
we do.
The, like just lovingly around the rim of the nose. Doesn't really get inside. Just lovingly around the tip.
Yeah. Where it's just like, and it does like a twirl. Like it went through a toilet, you know?
Yeah. All right, we're good. Let's check. Shake it up. Oh, you're good.
And the last weird one, I don't know what the hell is going on with Darren Waller, but he's had either knee or back injury the last 3 weeks. And now he's on the COVID list. Same thing. He's vaccinated, but like this just adds to it. It was like weird, vague injuries in two completely separate parts of his body. And now COVID. I don't know when we're going to see this guy again.
I'm about the Raiders. I'm not about individual players. I don't want to say that he's just kind of staying out of the field because he wasn't getting the chances or wasn't getting the looks or it's, you know, I'm not saying that.
I don't buy that at all.
I don't buy those rumors. I don't buy the rumors that he has beef with Carr for not getting him the ball or this and that, or with Olsen for not scheming him the ball. Mm-hmm. But if he doesn't want to be here, then don't be here. Then we'll happy trails to you. We'll trade you somewhere and we'll get something really juicy for the top flight tight end. I mean, I want him here. I would prefer him to be here. But if he doesn't want to be here, if that's the case, and everyone, I want you to listen to me. If that is the case, very similar to Rodney Hudson, happy trails. If you don't want to be here, then you don't have to be here.
0% chance he's holding out because of something like that. I say zero.
I don't think so either. I'm saying if that's the case internally, we'll see. We'll see in the offseason.
Ready to do some what up winbacks?
Yeah, why not?
Good, because I already put the lower third on, so now I have to. Ryan Guns, our defense looks much faster lately. Seems to be gelling at the right time. Need to create turnovers. Need Waller back. If he doesn't play next week, he can go. So this comment took a hard left turn.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Like
a lot to unpack here.
Yeah. So So about the defense, yeah, they are playing fast. I think that's the big thing. Like, they're getting to the ball so quickly. They're shedding blocks so much better. The D-line is shedding blocks so much better. Obviously, the run defense getting better. And it's like we've talked about it throughout the course of the season, but what makes Gus Bradley's defense what it is, and BD Williams talked about, especially last week, that it's not an aggressive turnover-making defense at its core. Like, obviously, they want turnovers, but it's a keep everything in front of you, bend, don't break, let them make the mistake, as opposed to like a Ravens defense or a Dolphins, like a super aggressive, like, all right, we'll give up the big play every now and then. We want to get three interceptions. We want to get four sacks. Like, we want to just attack. And we'll be over aggressive sometimes and you'll beat us for a big play, but we'll make it up with our, big plays defensively. Mm-hmm. Not Gus Bradley's defense. We're just not going to give up big plays. We're not going to let you throw deep. We're not going to let you just reel off 50 yard runs on us, but we're not going to get a lot of interceptions. And so that's, and again, I'm fine with that. I'm as long as it works. That's a defense that I can be happy with. I do want to see your DBs not just like fumbling and dropping interceptions that just fall into their breadbasket. That part's frustrating.
Yeah, the part that we discussed with BD last week, that I'm not a really big proponent of that. You're an athlete. You're a football player on the field. Those were not difficult catches that we're dropping. You got to make the play. Make the play. We were getting chances to make the play. We're just not making it. So. The defense is set up to frustrate and to make opposing offenses impatient. And when they are, we have to take advantage. And unfortunately, we haven't done that.
And then we need Waller back. If he doesn't play next week, he can go. I don't know where he's going to go. I don't know. Like, if he's just has COVID or if he's hurt.
Maybe he's talking about he can go in the offseason.
Trade him or what? I don't.
I wouldn't. Unless he wants to leave. No, there's no way.
But this is the other part, though, too. Like, even if he wants to leave, there's a lot of players that want to leave their teams and don't. Aaron Rodgers spent this entire offseason bitching and moaning and complaining. I want to go. I don't like it here. What happens? He might be the MVP this year. And the Packers might win the Super Bowl, right? Like Russell Wilson, like, that's a bad example because he didn't play well, but like, he's still there. Like, players all the time say, I want out of here. Let me out of here. And GMs and presidents and coaches are like, F you, you're staying here. And they play well, right? Like, and you get the random, like, really disgruntled guys, the Antonio Browns and like really messed up dudes that like make it a big deal.
Le'Veon Bell's
great. Another great example. Waller isn't that guy.
Thank you.
Like, Waller isn't that guy. And
Not yet, at least. I mean, he hasn't shown us that he's that guy.
I mean, it would be a drastic 180 of a personality if he went from the Darren Waller to like an Antonio Brown who's going to like bitch and moan his way out of Vegas. No, I don't buy it. Our friend Bob Rutherford, we asked on last show, who are your biggest disappointments of the season? He said, Alex Leatherwood, Josh Jacobs, and Henry Ruggs, my three Bama boys. That's true. Bama's really shit the bed for us this season.
They're really screwing the pooch.
All three first rounders, all of them disappointments in their own way. Ruggs obviously being the exclamation point. Man, Saban. Nick Saban needs to give these guys a talking to before they go pro.
Yeah, right. Like, hey, don't suck when you leave. You're screwing up my recruiting.
Yeah.
Look, Alex Leatherwood is improving. I really don't know what the issue is with this guy. He has all the physical tools. I just think mentally he's maybe a little bit behind. I think maybe he's pressing a little bit too much. I don't know that he was expecting to be drafted in the first round as highly as he was. I think maybe some of those expectations got to him a little bit, and he's pressing a little bit too much. But the last couple of games, he's played a lot better. And Josh Jacobs, after we ripped him a new asshole, he had his best games in a couple of years.
Since the Broncos last season was the last time he had that many yards. Yeah.
And, someone was discussing it in the message boards about, he has a trash O-line and that's why Jacobs isn't doing well. And I said, well, I mean, he's the same line that Booker, Drake this year, the same
that
line.
Excuse doesn't fly, man. That excuse doesn't fly.
And he's like, well, look how he did this year. And I'm like, okay, let's see it again. This is the thing that I want to impress upon everyone. It doesn't matter if you do it once in a while in sports. You have to be consistent. You have to be a consistent player at your level. That's what we need on this team. The problem is that we have too much inconsistency, and we don't know what we're going to get week to week.
And Josh Jacobs, Jacobs is in a weird, like he's cornered in a weird way because the extension of his rookie contract, because he went to the Pro Bowl, is $10 million. Like he can't just be, okay, you know, he has his faults, but you know, he's a decent running back. We'll keep him on the team and, you know, we'll pay him a couple mil and we'll be fine. Like, no, he either has to be a $10 million running back, like top five, top seven in the league, at least to get the contract that he's supposed to get. And this is a big, and this is how like that change of the rookie deal that happened like, you know, 10 years ago, wherever it was, has drastically altered football until it changes again. Because now, like, you know, these rookies are at the specific rookie contracts. So if you can get a phenomenal rookie quarterback who's making $2 million a season, you can spend all that salary cap on other players. He can play great for 3-4 years. Then you extend him and things change. It can also hurt your team where you've got, you know, I don't want to get rid of Josh Jacobs if money wasn't an issue. Maybe like, you know, he's good player, gives us good games every now and then. Seems to be a good locker room guy, like his attitude. Every now and then we get the game that we got against the Broncos. But that's not a $10 million running back.
Nope.
And he has to either be a $10 million running back or gone. He doesn't get to have that wiggle room. And that's what's most frustrating about it. Is he's the NFL PA and their bargaining agreement has shoved him in, painted him into a corner. You either have to be this or you're gone. You can't just be, okay, good. He'll be a Raider for years to come. Nope, you have to be that.
We can extend him. And for less per year, but more years, we can do that too. It all depends, man. And the thing is, guys, I want to make sure, because I was talking to a couple of Raider fans, one at the gym and another one at work, one of the delivery guys at work. It's don't get fooled by this flash about the peaks. Don't get fooled by the peaks, because yes, the players that we have, a lot of them, they have the ability to have those huge games. You need to look at is where are they overall, and why are you going to pay so much for something that you get so little of the time? The peaks are great, but you have to look more of, okay, what's he going to give you week to week, not just what can he give you. Because like I said, the consistency is the most important thing. And if you're consistently playing at a high level, those are the guys you give a lot of money to. The problem is the franchises that continually have struggles moving forward is the ones that pay for the potential or pay for those peaks and not the pay for the consistency.
Last one, VL8962. And you remember,
not a bot. Week,
there was not a bot at all. Well, it's a bot that comments every single
I'm fucking with them. I don't know.
Every single one. So you remember last game against the Broncos, Derek Carr went down for like a play. It was a third down play, got hurt, went to the tent, but he was out, didn't miss a single play. Marcus Mariota out, backup quarterback because of COVID. So that meant the backup, should Carr not play, Nathan
Peterman.
VL8962, can't lie, I got a little chub when the GOAT, Nathan Peterman, was warming up. It would have been something to see.
Hey man, the last time we saw him, he was balling out in preseason.
That's why John Gruden gave him $1 million every year to ball out for three preseason games.
Just take dick it all on the bench all year.
Imagine, like, that would have been a sight to see with the playoffs hanging in the balance, week 16 in the year of our Lord 2021, Drew Lock and Nathan Peterman
duking it out
battle, duking it out for AFC West supremacy. Boy, that would have been a new low, but one that would interest me. You know, I just say, I like to say I saw it.
Stories, you know, styles make fights.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
And that would have been a fight between two puppies just pawing at each other.
A slap fest.
All right, that's it for us. Again, make sure, like, comment, subscribe. We promise you won't regret it. If anything drastic changes with the COVID stuff, between either with the Raiders or with the Colts. We'll do another video, keep you guys updated on what's going on. At this point, who's playing, who isn't, still kind of up in the air. It looks,
who the heck knows?
It looks like the bulk of both rosters will play on Sunday, but we'll keep you posted. Until then, knock on wood if you're with me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Autumn Windbags. We really appreciate it. Make sure you go to our YouTube page, check that out, like, comment, and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on, and have a fantastic New Year's Eve. Until next time, later.